Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesETC.
Rosh Hashanah marks the start of a new year, a time of humble prayer, joyful celebration, and hope for a new beginning.
We know there is more that unites peoples of faith than divides us. So as Ramadan draws to a close, let us hold on to that spirit of community throughout the year.
Here you have a global organization that is spiritual and yet will bring together Muslims, Jews, Christians, and say, look, we all agree that there's some good big thing out there, but we're not going to put a label on it. Let's worship together.
In our culture, we have a three-headed monster, what I call the unholy trinity: pluralism, relativism, and universalism.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues Etc.
When you're sitting in the pew on Sunday morning, your ears wide open, you want to hear what the preacher has to say. What should you be listening for? I guess you could go there and say, I'm just going to listen for whatever the preacher has to say, and there's no real basis for judgment, no real criteria for determining whether or not the preacher is preaching the truth or falsehood, or whether it's a good sermon or a bad sermon. You walk out just the same, shake the pastor's hand and say, good sermon, pastor. But what is a good sermon? What is good preaching? Is it that someone can come across affably, well-spoken? Look at Joel Osteen. There's a guy who has elevated his particular kind of rhetoric to a high art form, and he has a lot of people listening. We'll do a little listening here during this hour of Issues Etc., a sermon review of one of Joel Osteen's sermon. Have a different kind of spirit is what he wants to talk about, and we'll see what he has to say and review this sermon preached by Joel Osteen, arguably the most popular television pastor and, of course, pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States, in this hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon, September the 23rd. If you care to react to our review of Joel Osteen's sermon titled Have a Different Kind of Spirit, you can give us a call during this hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. If you're following us at Twitter, our address, @issuesetc. Every time we review a sermon, and we've been doing it for a long time here on Issues Etc., we use the same three-part diagnostic. It's just a three-part rule, if you will, when you're listening, what to listen for, and why. It starts out very simply. How often is Jesus mentioned? Think back to the last sermon you heard. Was Jesus mentioned at all? It's not unusual nowadays to go into a church and hear a preacher preach without mentioning Jesus, but the first part of this diagnostic is how often is Jesus mentioned? And all you got to do is keep a simple running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned, not God in general, not the big man upstairs, not any other reference, but those references to Jesus, our Savior, second person of the Trinity. How often is he mentioned? Now, if Jesus is mentioned, you can go on to part two. If he isn't mentioned, you pretty much should stop listening and leave the church immediately. But if he is mentioned, go on to part two. If Jesus is mentioned, is he the subject of the verbs? Now, why would I evaluate this thing grammatically? Well, grammar matters. If Jesus is the subject of the verbs, that means he's the one doing the action. It's what he does that is being described in the sermon. And if you evaluate this only in terms of how the Bible presents Jesus to us, you'll find this all over the place. St. Paul says, I was determined to know nothing except Christ and him crucified among you. He's talking about what Jesus has done for sinners. Jesus himself, in predicting his own passion, says the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. When John the Baptist sees Jesus coming, is there a greater preacher than John the Baptist? I don't think so. His short and sweet sermon is, "Behold the Lamb of God who is carrying the sins of the world." There's Jesus, and he's the subject of the verbs, carrying the sins. Now, that gets us to the third part of the diagnostic. If Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then what are those verbs? Is it the Lamb of God who carries the sins of the world? Is it the Jesus who suffers and dies and rises again, who forgives sins, who shows mercy, who will come again on the last day to raise your body, to be with him forever? Or is this the Jesus of pop psychology and American therapeutic deism, who is, he inspires, he helps, he coaches you through life, he enables, he empowers? There's a big difference between the Jesus that Scripture presents with all those verbs like suffering, dying, forgiving, making sacrifice, redeeming, reconciling, and the Jesus of pop psychology. So is Jesus mentioned? How often is he mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? Now, when you're done, you can go on to a fourth part if you like, and that is step back after the sermon is all over and ask yourself, what problem did the preacher diagnose in me? And what remedy did he give me from God's word to that problem? Is my problem a stressful life, too little time in the week, not being able to get along with my friends as I should, for which there are all sorts of practical solutions that don't need Jesus to die for you on the cross? Or is my real problem sin and the death that it brings, for which there is but one solution, one remedy, the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our Savior? The sermon is called Have a Different Kind of Spirit. Joel Osteen is the preacher. Let's review it.
I want to talk to you today about having a different spirit. Too many people go around negative and discouraged. They focus on their problems, what they can't do, and how they'll never accomplish their dreams. And if we're not careful, we'll let that same spirit rub off on us. I've found it's easy to be a part of the majority. It's easy to just go with the flow and think, we've made too many mistakes. Our problems are too big. The economy is too low. We never get any good breaks. That's the way everybody thinks, Joel. Yes, but here's the key. You're not everybody. You're a child of the Most High God. He breathed His life into you. God has surrounded you with His favor. You were never created to be average. God put in you a different spirit.
Now, just a second. Because at this point, you might be saying, okay, Wilkin, the first part of your diagnostic was, is Jesus mentioned? How often is he mentioned? And Joel talked about God, didn't he? Now, I'm not going to fault him for talking about God. We do make reference to God in this way a lot. But this a Christ-centered sermon, Christ-centered preaching, isn't about a generic God or a God that is simply out there doing things for you. It's a very particular, a very peculiar revelation of God in Jesus Christ. It's not enough simply to say, God loves you, God helps you, God's done this or that for you. Christian preaching focuses on how God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ.
We're not supposed to be a part of the majority. We're supposed to be a part of the minority. That means everybody around you may be complaining. They may be singing a sad song, but don't join in their party. When they complain about how bad life is treating them, your attitude is, I'm just grateful to be alive. I'm too blessed to be stressed. When they talk down about the company, just turn it around. I'm glad that I at least have this job. I'm grateful that I'm healthy and strong enough to be at work today. See, anybody can complain. Anybody can find fault. But God wants us to have a different spirit. You have to look for the good. Be grateful for what's right. You may work around people that are very negative, or perhaps you even live with someone like that, but you don't have to allow them to steal your joy. I heard somebody say, don't be a thermometer that just measures the temperature. Be a thermostat that changes the temperature.
Okay, this is, and he actually does this very well. I mean, just in terms of presenting his ideas, Joel Osteen has given you in the last minute and a half his entire sermon. Now he's going to go back and flesh it out. Don't be a thermometer. Be a thermostat. Be something. Be someone that really makes a difference, that makes a change in yourself and in others. Now, by itself, insofar as this goes, and this is what Joel has mastered, It's advice on how to be nice. And there's nothing wrong with this advice. I mean, does having a positive attitude toward your situation in life generally help you in the course of your everyday comings and goings and those around you? Yeah. It's not bad advice. What he says, insofar as it goes here, is not, strictly speaking, untrue. But you don't need a dead Jesus to follow this advice. You don't need Jesus living a perfect life for you, dying a perfect death for you, and rising again from the dead in order to get whatever this advice is going to get you. It's advice on how to be nice. Now, as we listen further in this sermon, we'll discover something, another feature common to Joel's sermons, and that is when he wants to cite examples of how to do what he's telling you to do. This is a how-to sermon. Almost all of his are. When he wants to cite an example, he generally cites himself. He's there to show us how to do it. Now, contrast that if you would. If Joel would take the time to talk about what Jesus has already done for us, how he has substituted for us in life, in suffering, in death, in the grave, in resurrection, as our substitute, he wouldn't be preaching a sermon that tells you how to do. He'd be preaching a sermon that tells you what Jesus has done for you. And there's a huge difference between the two. How to can only get you so far. It can never get you any farther than any other good advice can get you, but it won't save you. The only thing that saves is not what you do or how to do what you do, but what Jesus has already done. We'll be right back with more of our sermon review. Joel Osteen's sermon, Have a Different Kind of Spirit, on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 23rd. And how he died for me on the cross. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me his body. Give me his blood.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Every Tuesday, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday School lesson. You'll find these interviews under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click on demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen. Issues, etc. online at issuesetc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Proclaiming Christ, not the Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you. issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're doing one of our sermon reviews here this Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd of September. You can join us with questions or comments. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at issuesetc. Joel Osteen is the preacher. If you don't know Joel Osteen, He not only is pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States, Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, boasting, I think, now close to 50,000 people in attendance on any given weekend or in the course of any given week. I've actually been there. It's a big place. It's got a lot of people in it. Joel is also a television star. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he has an audience of tens of millions worldwide every week. His program is on many times throughout the week, and his program consists of a sermon from one of the services there at Lakewood. And he is a best-selling author. He wrote, what were the books he wrote? He Become a Better You. Your Best Life Now was his first one. And the one that's coming up, oh, it has something about Living Your Dream, something along those lines. I can't remember what it is. But about every year, Thomas Nelson publishes one of his books, and they make a ton of money. Joel Osteen is the real deal when it comes to everything that Christian success is supposed to be. He's what, if you go to one of those churches where, you know, you fancy yourself a megachurch, you got a couple thousand people, not really a megachurch yet, is it? But if you fancy yourself one of, he is the real deal. He's what your pastor's trying to be. He's also part of a dynasty of television preachers. His father, John Osteen, in his own right, was a very successful televangelist and one of the leading lights of the Word Faith movement in the United States. Joel has that. You'll hear a little bit of it coming out in his sermon, but it's not so strong in his preaching. One more thing. You know what's wrong with how-to sermons? As we go back to this how-to sermon from Joel Osteen, they always end up being about one of two people, the preacher or you, but not usually Jesus.
In other words, when you go to work this week, people may be singing the blues, complaining about the boss, complaining about the economy, talking about how bad somebody's treating them. Don't join in and say, oh, you think you have it bad. Let me tell you about my problems. My teenager won't straighten up. I think I'm going to have surgery on my back. My insurance has doubled. We didn't qualify for that new home we really wanted. No, when you talk defeat, you draw in defeat. Have a different spirit. You're not a thermometer. Don't let them influence you and draw out the worst. You're a thermostat. You've got the spirit of the living God on the inside. Your attitude should be, yes, I may have some problems. Yes, it may be difficult, but I know this too shall pass. Yes, it's true, I may have to have surgery. But I know God's going to bring me out better off than I was before. No, we didn't qualify for that new home, but I'm not discouraged. I know God has something better in store. That's a thermostat. You didn't let them pull you down. You pulled them up. And I've discovered just as negativity is contagious, faith is contagious. Just like complaining, being discouraged, and having a sour outlook is contagious, so is being hopeful. Being positive, being faith-filled.
Now, you notice something he's done there, and this I mentioned before that his dad was one of the bright lights of the Word Faith movement in the past generation. Joel, true to his theological roots in the prosperity gospel, has done something there that you might not have even noticed. He has equated one-for-one faith with hope, a positive attitude. He has, in essence, redefined the word faith from what the Bible teaches, which is a total and utter dependence, an empty hand receiving the things that God gives in Jesus Christ, a personal dependence on the person and work of Jesus Christ, your Savior from sin and death. That's how the Bible defines faith. That's the faith that saves. Joel has redefined it to be a hopeful outlook, looking on the sunny side, keeping your spirit up. And he's equated faith with simply being positive.
Here's the key. The more they talk defeat, the more you need to talk victory. The more they complain, the more you need to praise. The more sour they look, the more happy you need to look. Don't let them infect you. You can infect them. We know how in the natural, certain diseases are contagious. We can catch a cold from someone. We can catch the flu. And sometimes we'll get a shot that will vaccinate us and make it less likely for us to contract that disease. And you may work around negative, sour people, but the best vaccine you can take is to get up every morning with a song of praise in your heart. Thank God for what he's done. And then go out with a smile on your face. Focus on what's right, not on what's wrong. Be excited about your future. What are you doing? You're taking a vaccination that will keep you from those negative, toxic people, keep you from being influenced by them. After all, we can't expect to live in a bubble and never have any kind of negative influences, but we can take our daily vaccination. When you know you're going to be in an extremely negative environment, you need to take more of that vaccine. When you're going to that family reunion and you know what relatives are going to be there, you better take a double dose. Some of you, when you go to your mother-in-law's, you better take a triple dose. Not me, I've got a great mother-in-law, but how do you increase your dosage? Turn up your joy, turn up your praise, turn up your expectancy. When they say, we never get any good breaks, we're just poor and defeated, say, no, no, speak for yourself, I'm blessed.
Now, this is a common refrain in Joel Osteen's preaching. He paints a picture of the believer's life as kind of the hapless victim of other people's negativity, sometimes of their own, but he's such an encourager. He doesn't want to, that's what he calls himself, an encourager. That's why he doesn't talk about sin. He said this publicly, you know, in interviews with the press. Why don't you talk about sin, Pastor Osteen? I want to be an encourager. I don't know if he believes in sin, but he certainly doesn't talk about it. And so the problem isn't you, your personal sin, that you have offended God, that you are rebellious, that you're an enemy of God, that you in thought, word, and deed fail to fear, love, and trust God as God has commanded that you do. That's not your problem. Your problem is the people around you, the circumstances around you, everybody's trying to drag you down. Your wife, your husband, your in-laws, your coworkers. And of course, if that's all your problem is, Joel's advice is great. If your only problem is that you are kind of the hapless victim of circumstance and you're just trying to keep from getting dragged down by everything around you and everyone around you, his advice works perfectly. When they're negative, you be positive. Well, you know, that will work if your only problem is that everyone and everything is dragging you down. But the Bible says a problem goes deeper than that, far deeper. It goes back to that failure, that utter failure to fear, love, and trust God. Our problem is God. And keeping a hopeful outlook doesn't solve that problem, not one bit.
I'm prosperous. I've got the favor of God. Goodness and mercy are chasing me down. Well, we come from the wrong family. We're the wrong nationality. We just live in the wrong country. No, not me. I come from the right family. I'm a child of the Most High God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who my parents are doesn't determine my destiny. God determines my destiny. Where I was born, how I was raised, the country I'm living in right now, none of that can keep me from becoming all God's created me to be. Well, Joel, I've got big dreams, but I just don't have the resources. I don't have the right connections. I don't know the right people. No, I don't know about you, but I've got friends in high places. The creator of the universe is my heavenly Father. He's directing my steps. He's breathing in my direction. He holds victory in my future. When you think like this and you talk like this, you are taking a vaccine. That way, when those negative comments and thoughts come to try to steal your joy and steal your vision, sour your life, they will bounce off of you like water off of a duck's back. Why? You've got the shield of faith.
And again, faith has been equated with a generally positive attitude. And he does do a lot of God talk. He does mention God quite a bit. But this is a God who can very nicely exist without Jesus Christ. This is a God who's good and merciful and all these things for no particular reason. Does not require the sacrifice of his son in order for him to be benevolent, favorable to you. At least that's what it sounds like. Now, I do think that Joel Osteen believes in Jesus. I do think he knows that Jesus is the only way of salvation, which raises the obvious question, why doesn't he say so? Why doesn't he preach about it? Here's a question. Would a Muslim or a Jew or a Mormon find anything to object to in this sermon? We're told that Jesus is that scandal, that stumbling block over which men stumble and fall, that the message of his cross will be an offense in the world, and it will make us strangers and aliens in the world, and the world will hate us. and we will be considered of all men most to be pitied because of Christ. But would a Muslim or a Jew or a Mormon or a Buddhist, for that matter, really find anything offensive, anything that they couldn't sign on to in Joel Osteen's sermon, have a different kind of spirit? They are all God kind of people. They all do their own forms of God talk, and this seems to be as unoffensive as it could possibly be, particularly because it lacks the cross. When we come back from this break, we'll continue our sermon review of Joel Osteen's latest, Have a Different Kind of Spirit. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd of September. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can join us, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. We get your email right here in the studio in real time, or you can always Twitter us at issuesetc. 1-877-623-MY-IE. We'll be right back with more sermon review. Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is kind of a Lutheran revision of an NIV Study Bible, so there's always a certain yes, but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and Lutheran exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will pro-abortion forces learn a lesson from history?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
When supporters of slavery passed the 1850 Fugitive Slave Law in Congress, Northern public sentiment shifted to the support of the abolitionists. When 33 suffragettes were unjustly arrested and beaten by their jailers, the American public was outraged and President Woodrow Wilson demanded women be given the right to vote. These events show that when one side goes too far in promoting its cause, it can actually backfire. President Obama and the Democrats run the risk of doing the same thing by pushing extremist legislation like taxpayer funding of abortions and the Freedom of Choice Act.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd of September. We're reviewing one of Joel Osteen's sermon. Have a different kind of spirit, he says. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll conclude our series with Dr. Craig Evans on how modern Bible scholars distort the Gospels. Tomorrow, we'll discuss what did Jesus do. Then Friday, we'll study the hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. Our guest, Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This email comes from Paul in High Ridge, Missouri. He writes, does Joel wish he were named Phil? He is Dr. Phil, but with a Rev to make his money. Interesting. You know, I think that the comparison's often been made between somebody like Joel Osteen and Dr. Phil, because Dr. Phil gives some good, sound advice. I would say Dr. Phil actually probably gives better advice, generally speaking. Dr. Phil seems to have a pretty firm grasp of man's condition. I don't think he'd put it as sin, but he certainly sees enough of it. And at least for all practical purposes, he operates as though man is not essentially good and self-motivated and able to achieve all that he can achieve simply by the force of his own will. On the other hand, you do get the impression from Joel Osteen's preaching that you have it in you Now, albeit you have it in you because you're a child of God or God's shown you his favor, but you have it in you to be everything God has made you. It's not only a failure to talk about sin in a realistic sense that looks like my real Christian life. It's almost kind of an anti-sin way of talking about the Christian, as though sin doesn't exist or can be easily overcome as just a bad attitude or a bad habit. Now, Joel is a Christian minister. There's no doubt about it. Dr. Phil isn't. So the contrast should stand out all the starker for you that perhaps someone who's schooled only in psychology and then not so much, Dr. Phil, seems to have a better grasp of our real condition than Joel Osteen, pastor of the largest megachurch in the United States.
You've got the sword of the Spirit, God's word, coming out of your mouth. And I know today I'm not looking at thermometers. I'm not looking at people that get talked into being defeated, dragging through life with no enthusiasm, letting every negative influence pull you down. No, I'm looking at people that have a different spirit. I'm looking at a bunch of thermostats. When you walk into the room, you change the atmosphere. When you get there, the whole place lightens up. You bring it up higher. Why is that? Your joy rubs off on others. Your enthusiasm lifts the discouraged. Your grateful spirit silences the complainers. Your report of victory drowns out the report of defeat. I remember this gentleman. He was an older man that used to attend Lakewood years and years ago. And he was in his 80s when I was a teenager. And he was always so happy, always had a smile. He was a very kind, soft-spoken man, very gentle. He loved to quote the scripture. He had this English accent. And whenever I'd see him, he'd call me over in his warm, friendly way, and he would quote a passage of scripture. He knew no strangers. He was a friend to everyone. And one day, when he was in his early 90s, he was on an airplane to go visit some relatives in another state. And he sat next to this man that was very negative, extremely sour, very condescending. Everything this man said, the man had a negative rebuttal for. When he talked about how blessed he was, the man talked about how miserable his life was. When he talked about the family he loved and couldn't wait to see, the man talked about how he was divorced and even now estranged from his own children. When he talked about his health, how he was still going strong in his 90s, the man told how he always felt tired and run down. You could not find two more opposite people. My friend, this older gentleman, he made up his mind he was not going to let that negative, complaining spirit infect him. And after they talked a little while, the man got his newspaper out, and my friend got his Bible out and began reading it. When the man saw the Bible, he started making all of these very sarcastic comments. He told how he was an atheist. He didn't believe there was a God and thought the man was just wasting his time, and on and on. My friend didn't get upset. He didn't argue. He just stayed in peace, calm, cool, and collected. And he told the man he was going to be praying for him. The man laughed even more sarcastically and said, "Oh, don't waste your time." About an hour into the flight, the plane hit an unusual pocket of air, and it began to drop thousands and thousands of feet in a few seconds. Anything that wasn't tied down shot up to the ceiling. Passengers, flight attendants, food, purses, it was all stuck to the ceiling. Well, my friend was wearing his seatbelt, but the man next to him wasn't. And when he looked up, he saw this man stuck up on the ceiling. His eyes were like twice as big as normal. He looked scared to death. The first thing he shouted to my friend was, "Pray, pray." My friend said, "I didn't think you believed in God." He said, "I do now. Just pray."
You got to admit it. Joel Osteen is a master storyteller. I mean, he can tell a story with the best of them. He is also an extremely affable person. And so he comes across very well telling these stories. Here's the problem. He's telling the wrong story. It's great to know about this guy who was a good witness to his own attitude with this curmudgeon on the airplane and how it all came out with a laugh at the end. All of them seemed to do for some reason. That's nice. That might be somewhat encouraging. Doesn't save anybody. I mean, it's an example, but you're not saved by example. Sinners, examples help by way of instruction, But when you got a problem like sin, this intractable problem of your own rebellion against God that crops up every day in what you think and say and do, and puts you on the wrong side of God's perfect will, advice and examples aren't going to help you. They're only going to condemn you. This is a problem with using Jesus as an example, too. When preachers use Jesus as an example to be followed, it is the example that condemns us all, because Jesus is perfect. And of course, the law demands perfection. That's why Jesus must be proclaimed as more than example. He is substitute. He is the one who took your place in life and death and resurrection. And this is why, in order for that to be proclaimed, Jesus has actually got to get proclaimed in the first place, right? He's actually got to get mentioned, and not just honorably, at the end of the sermon. Daniel in Iowa City, Iowa, says Joel Osteen doesn't talk about Jesus because his religion is not about Jesus and salvation, but rather feeling cheerful and happy. We don't even know what God he is talking about. How have people learned to receive this God's favor? A person's God is what they talk about, and Joel Osteen has chosen to make happy, cheery thoughts and feelings his gods. Interesting. Thank you for listening in Iowa City, Daniel. Back to the sermon review.
It's funny. When he came down a few seconds later, his attitude had totally changed. He listened to every word my friend had to say. What am I saying? God has a way of getting people's attention. You may think nothing is happening. You're being your best each day. You don't complain. You always have a good report. But it looks like you're just wasting your time. The people around you, some of them are so sour, so hard to get along with. No, God is working on those people. That seed is taking root. Keep letting your light shine. Keep being a thermostat. And at the right time, God will make sure the temperature in the room comes down. I remember one time I called this pizza place to order a pizza. And I'd called this restaurant dozens and dozens of times, year after year. And when you call, the first thing they always ask for is your telephone number. This young lady answered the phone and told the name of the restaurant. And I said to her very friendly, very politely, "Hello, my phone number is 713, and I gave her the rest of my number. When I did, you would have thought I just totally insulted her. She practically screamed in my ear in the most rude voice you can imagine. She said, "Sir, I am not ready for your phone number. And when I get ready, I will ask you for your phone number." I wanted to say, "Lady, I will give you my phone number whenever I feel like giving you my phone number. I will call you at midnight and give you my phone number if I want to." But down in here, I didn't want to hear it, but I could hear that still small voice coming up saying, "Joel, be a thermostat, not a thermometer."
Now, usually when Joel uses himself as an example, and he often does, he seldom admits to what he just admitted to. This is rare for Joel Osteen. I've listened to dozens and dozens of his sermons, read all his books. It's rare for him to admit that he actually has sinful impulses. Now, he won't call it that, but it's rare for him to admit that. Usually his stories go something like, "She was very rude to me. She said, 'Sir, when I'm ready for your phone number, I'll ask for your phone number. But I didn't return in kind. I did this, I did that. I was kind, and I was, and everything comes out great in the end because Joel does exactly what he's supposed to do." I mean, people who do exactly what they're supposed to do all the time, who never do things that are wrong, don't need Jesus. People who don't have sin, don't sin, aren't troubled by sin, don't need a Savior. It's that simple. If you come to the point in your life where sin no longer troubles you, you have ceased to need the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, your Savior. You've moved past Jesus. Now, Joel actually admitted here that he had at least the impulse to return evil for evil. But, of course, his story goes on. We'll get to it on the other side of the break as our sermon review continues. The sermon's called "Have a Different Kind of Spirit." The most recent from Joel Osteen, Lakewood pastor, author of several best-selling books. Our sermon review, and you can join us as well. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Twitter us @issuesetc. at Issues ETC. I wonder, well, I'll get to that on the other side of the break. I wonder if a little better Bible study, not just being nice, but a little better Bible study might help Pastor Osteen. Stay tuned. This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So, if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrivent will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrivent Giving Plus gift form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrivent Giving Plus.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's our sermon review of Pastor Joel Osteen's latest, Have a Different Kind of Spirit. 10 more minutes in our sermon review. I was wondering this before the break, how much Joel Osteen's preaching might change if he were to read the Issues Etc. book of the month for September called the Lutheran Study Bible. It's a study Bible like many other study Bibles, but better because it has in its scholarship the full recognition of what Christ himself said ought to be the case when we study the Scriptures. He says there in John chapter 5, to his opponents, you search the Scriptures, for in them you suppose you find eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify of me. That's what makes the Lutheran Study Bible truly unique. Not only the depth of its scholarship, but it is genuinely Christ-centered and cross-focused. Find out more about the Lutheran Study Bible by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order the Lutheran Study Bible. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's called the Lutheran Study Bible. Let's get back to the sermon review.
You may have walked into a room that's 200 degrees, but you have the controls. You can bring it down. I thought to myself, yeah, right, it'll take me 6 years with this lady. But I realized she didn't have anything against me. She's just having a bad day. Something was irritating her. So I decided I was going to do everything I could to cheer this old goat up. I mean, this young lady up. I started thinking of everything I could possibly compliment her on. And God knows I had to use my imagination. I said, ma'am, I just want to thank you for answering that phone so quickly and taking such good care of me. And you guys make the best pizzas in the world. And your delivery is always on time. You run such a great organization. On and on I went, telling her all these lies. I mean, encouraging her. You know, by the time I got finished, she was throwing in hot wings and Dr. Peppers and coupons for more pizza. I had won her over. What happened? I became a thermostat instead of a thermometer. The scripture says you overcome evil with good. Now, I'm asking you today to have a different spirit. There are a lot of negative, critical, rude, short-tempered people. You don't have to let them infect you. You can infect them. Don't be a part of the majority. Live in the minority. One time in the scripture, Moses sent 12 men in to spy out the promised land. The people of Israel were camped right next door, and they were so excited about going in. But after 40 days, 10 of the men came back, the majority, with a negative report. They said, "Moses, the people are too big. There are giants in the land. We don't have a chance. We'll never defeat them." That negative report spread throughout the rest of the camp. The people began to murmur and complain. They got down and discouraged. But one of the other spies was named Caleb. He came to Moses and said, "Moses, we are well able to defeat these people. Let us go up at once and take the land. We can do it." His report was exactly opposite. Isn't it interesting? Both sides saw the same land, the same people, the same circumstances, yet they had totally different views.
Now, okay, he's going to go on to use Caleb as further example of kind of having the positive attitude. And I suppose that is one reasonable application of the story of the spies sent in to the promised land. I suppose it's one reasonable application. And you know what? You can go in the Old Testament, the New, you can find all sorts of moral examples that you can follow. Do your best. Be positive like Caleb. Be obedient like so-and-so. You can mine the scriptures for moral examples, for people to emulate, for lessons for living, and for good advice. And when you're done, having gone from the beginning to the end of the Bible, searching for all of these things to help you live a better life, to help you have a better positive attitude, to encourage you in having a positive attitude, you will still have missed the point. Again, Jesus says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify to me." The pastor can quote all the Bible passages he wants to you. He hasn't told the story wrong. None of the facts are out of place. He's not misquoting the Bible. He's simply not interpreting it the way that Jesus says we ought to, which is to testify of him. If the Bible, in the end, is a book about either Caleb or you, you've missed the point. If it's about how you live and how to do what they did, then you've missed the point. That's exactly what Jesus' opponents missed when they searched the scriptures. These men who were experts in the scriptures, they had them memorized backward and forward. And Jesus says, you've missed the point. If you don't find me in there and what I have done, me, the Savior of the world, my saving work for you, you've missed the point. All right, a few more minutes with Joel Osteen.
How could their reports be so unalike? Here's how. Caleb had a different spirit. He saw things through a different perspective. They were focused on their giants. Caleb was focused on his God. He did his best to cheer the people up. He told them, "We're well able, let's go now." But they just wouldn't listen. And God was so put out with those 2 million people. He said, because they didn't believe, because they chose to live negative and sour, none of them would make it into the promised land. But in Numbers 14:24, God said, "My servant Caleb is different. Because he has another spirit, I will bring him into the promised land, and his descendants will receive their full share in the land." Notice it says he had a different spirit. What does that mean? He wasn't like the majority. Everybody else was complaining, yet he had a good report. They were all shrinking back in fear. He was moving forward in faith. They were talking defeat. He was talking victory. God calls that a different spirit.
Okay, we don't have time to get through the entire sermon. It doesn't change that much from where he's gone so far. Now, Joel will always give Jesus. You notice no Jesus mentioned? We've listened to the better part of this sermon, and Jesus has not. God has been mentioned a lot, kind of a generic God, references to God, lots of God talk. But not Jesus, not the one who has come to reveal who the true God is to us, the one who alone is our salvation, our hope, our comfort, our assurance. So the rest of the diagnostic really doesn't work if Jesus doesn't get mentioned. It becomes essentially a Christless sermon rather than a Christ-centered sermon. He'll give Jesus honorable mention at the end where they do the sinner's prayer. That's it. It's honorable mention. It's a footnote. Jesus isn't a footnote, folks. He talked about a different spirit. What's the only spirit that Christ knows to commend to us? What, a positive attitude? Looking on the sunny side? Smile when others are frowning? You don't find Jesus saying that. When he talks about the spirit that he will send from the Father, he says, the comforter, the true comforter who is to come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the spirit of truth. This is John chapter 15. Jesus says, he shall testify of me. What you've heard in the sermon is not a different spirit, just a positive attitude and some advice on how to be nice. You have not heard that spirit that Christ sends from the Father who testifies of Jesus, who comes with true comfort, which is the message of Christ and him crucified for you, a sinner. That's what you really need, not just from the big preachers who are on television, but from your preacher every Sunday, every sermon, to every sinner. That's what I need. That's what you need. That's what you should listen for, no matter who the preacher is. Folks, sermon reviews are a regular part of this program, Issues Etc. If you enjoy them, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again, LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll conclude our series on how modern scholars distort the Gospels. Dr. Craig Evans will be our guest. Tomorrow we'll also discuss what did Jesus do with him? Was he just a great teacher? Was he an example? Was he just there to kind of buoy our spirits and make us feel a little bit better about ourselves? Did he claim to be God? Did he rise from the dead? Did he do all those things that he said he would do for us, for me, for you? Tune in tomorrow and find out. When you go to church on Sunday, this Sunday, and you're sitting there in the pew with your ears wide open, you need to listen, not just to anything the preacher has to say. You need to listen for Jesus. You need to listen for Jesus from beginning to end. You need to listen for the Jesus who saves, who substitutes for you, who lays down his life for your salvation, who suffers, who bleeds, who dies for you to save you from sin and death. And not just this Sunday, but every Sunday, because your problem never changes. Mine never does. I'm always a sinner in need of that very Savior, Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.